at least it wasn't the Tellum guy. At least the GM didn't compare him to Halle Berry. John, I'm looking for something. Good morning, 97.1. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov, and Greg behind the glass. The Pistons selected a guy who shot 24% from three in the G League. Is this Ausar Thompson 2.0, John? Let's start there.
Ausar Thompson, or how about Jaden Ivey? You know, he attacks a rim attacker. He's the fastest guy. All of these different things. He's explosive.
Yeah, great athlete.
Yeah, I mean, insert.
High upside.
You know, after the 22 draft, we're talking about basically the same things about Jaden Ivey. Oh, and maybe he'll be able to improve his three-point shooting at the NBA level.
New shooting coach.
Yeah, we got a new shooting coach. Ausar Thompson. He attacks the rim. He's aggressive.
He's a great athlete.
Yeah.
High upside.
And okay, same thing after the 23 drafts with him. Now we're at the 24 draft, and it's not Troy Weaver, but it feels very similar to the last two drafts. And you mentioned the whole Halle Berry comment. It's, I mean, what was
it
about?
I know her when I see her.
Well, what was it about Killian Hayes? Right? I mean, he couldn't shoot.
Right,
we just draft guys that can't shoot.
Right, and Weaver is gone. I need to remind people of that. There's a new president of basketball operations, but this feels very old regime. Now, I want to be fair to Trajan Langdon because none of those other people are his fault. But this is now a trend where ever since they drafted Cade Cunningham, their solution has been to run him through a meat grinder. We're going to give you no shooting. Just clogged paint, high turnovers, right, because there's no spacing. Just straight through the meat grinder for your entire rookie contract. Because even if Ron Holland does develop a jump shot, I don't imagine it's happening overnight. And there's no promise that he will.
What did we say yesterday? I don't want somebody that we're going to have to sit around. That was the thing about Dalton Knecht, 23 years old. You know, it's instant gratification. And I understand, hey, you know, we live in that type of world where it's instant gratification. I try and guard against what is going to be best right now because – even if they had Dalton Knecht or anybody else, nobody in this draft was going to take them from a 14-win team to a playoff team
correct.
Next year. But when was the last time an 18-year-old was able to come in? Because that's exactly what Ron Holland is 18 years old. I didn't want a guy that was going to be, hey, let's develop over the next year, 2-3 years. Wanted somebody that could come in and play right away, provide some offense, and he does none of those things. The only thing that he adds that this team desperately needed was an aggressive style of defense.
Yes, and I think that's absolutely needed on this team. Someone who could defend the perimeter. The idea that Thompson and Holland together can smother some of the other NBA wings, grow into their bodies, and be plus defenders. Absolutely see that vision. The problem is you have a core that currently sits today with five players who are average and mostly below average three-point shooters in today's NBA. It is a non-starter. It is not a real core. It is not a foundation. Now, Langdon's going to have to maneuver. He could trade Ivy or Durin or Thompson. I don't know that they're going to build shooting through free agency. I heard that last year. And the reality is they're going to be very wise to take on bad contracts and get picks back. It's not going to be like they're going to get this lethal jump shooting squad
right.
from free agency. So I don't know. We can open up the phones to kick off the show. 248-539-9797 and get some of your thoughts. You brought up a name you would have preferred. Connect. He ends up going 17th to the Lakers.
Yeah, because they need what?
Shooting. Devin Carter's another guy that you liked, and I did too yesterday. He went 13th. He also was a good three-point shooter last year in college, a guard who could rebound. Yeah. Also was a defender, so you can do both. And you look up and down. Now, Cody Williams is a name we mentioned. He went 10th overall. The bottom line is there were guys that would offer them some shooting upside who they didn't take.
Yeah.
And I remember last year, it was, well, who do you want if you don't want Ausar Thompson? And I was a Cam Whitmore guy. Well, Jim, he fell, so you were wrong. Well, I don't know. Last year, Whitmore was a better rookie than Ausar Thompson. It doesn't mean because Connect fell to 17 that he's not going to be a better player than Ron Holland.
Right.
He's a guy that would have immediately stepped in and filled the biggest need on this basketball team. And I know his age is being held against him, but if you can play, you can play. I don't know that Ron Holland is going to develop over the next 5 years. That's the gamble that Trajan Langdon took. I mean, it's a 5-year age gap.
I don't get why they took Holland over Williams. I don't. I can't figure it out. Where's the upside?
To Holland?
Yeah.
Oh, he's the one of the youngest players in the draft. He does everything but shoot. So if you can coach
Williams
him on shooting.
Young. Williams is young, too.
Yeah.
And he can shoot better. I don't understand. That's where I don't understand why they did what they did. They basically threw last year out the window and recruited the number one player in high school basketball.
Yeah.
That's what they did. And
they went high
he
upside.
May work out.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm trying to figure out why he has more upside than Williams. Because of high school recruiting? We can't have silence here, guys. We have to talk.
No, but sometimes silence is for effect.
There's no answer for.
Yeah, I think silence is for effect in that
case. That's where I really don't get this. And whatever. I mean, let's see how it plays out. You have to do that now at the draft. I think with Connect, the reason he fell is he's maxed out. You know what you're getting, but the potential to grow isn't much there. But guess who took him?
Right.
A team that's probably trying to win a championship next year. So he'll fit in nicely there, and he'll probably pull a Whitmore and have a better rookie season more of these guys. But down the road, there'll be better players in this draft.
But we're forced with going with exactly what you said. We're forced with, well, let's see what he is in 3 years, 4 years. Maybe I'm speaking out of line, but I think I can speak for a lot of Pistons fans. I'm really tired of waiting. Really tired of waiting and hoping that one of these picks develops into, and I'm not even hoping for a one or a two or a three, just somebody that can be a contributing factor to an NBA team that competes for the playoffs. And I'm even taking out a championship. I want to compete for a championship, but right now let's baby steps. How long does it take for us to compete for the playoffs?
3 years. 248-539-9797. And again, this is Trajan Langdon's first move. It's not his only move, but your first impression. 248-539-9797. Phones, ticket, text. Greg, you had something earlier, and we didn't go over to you. Was it the Halle Berry reference? What got you going over there?
I did finally check my text messages this morning. I got one from my friend at 2:43 a.m. saying that the Pistons drafted Ausar Thompson again.
Yeah. I mean, we joked about it before the show. You know, I know you were in with Gator
after the draft, yeah.
And you could have taken the audio from, you know, Stoney and I, and you melded it together and then just very clumsily put in Ron Holland. And it would have been the same conversation that we had last year. Now we have a different president of basketball operations calling the shots, and we've got to be able to trust that he knows what he's doing?
Yeah, but they reached. Why didn't they trade down?
I don't know. You heard Filar in the update. They were working the phones, didn't get the offer.
And you heard from Woj. If you're watching the draft on TV, up until there was like a minute and a half left on the clock as it's ticking down in the bottom left corner, and he's there talking, yep, they're in discussions right now. They're fielding phone calls to trade down. And then as soon as they go from him, they go to the main desk, and they're, well, no, we're hearing that he's going to take Ron Holland. And I kept thinking, Woj has to be right. Woj, I mean, he's right so many times. He's plugged in more than they are at the front desk, right?
But the draft went as predictable as everybody thought it would, the first four picks.
Yep.
You should have had a trade in place to do this. Look, we'll see how the player works out, and this isn't Holland bashing like some people like to do around here. But
are you looking at me?
Let's hope he gets the first base. Seriously, though, you should have had. I think it's fair to question Langdon this morning. And kind of borderline failed last night because he reached on a guy he couldn't trade down. I mean, this is like Brad Holmes taking Gibbs at six.
Worked out. So I don't know if that's the
no. They took him at 12 because they maneuvered.
What you're saying.
You
right.
see what I'm doing?
Yes, yes.
I think there's a mini failure last night, and because he's just took the job last week. Right now, I think it's pretty fair to be pretty critical of this.
Oh, I think you can be critical. I would say if that's your comparison. Landing Gibbs, you'd rather, you know, trade back, but getting the player you want is not a knock. If this is truly the player he wants, I don't think that's a fair criticism. The criticism will be, is he as good as Jahmyr Gibbs? Because Gibbs ran for nearly 1,000 yards and was a contributor in the passing game, too. If Holland is that out of the box, out of the gate, I don't care that they picked up 5, 10, 15, or 20. The question is, can you play in the NBA with 5 non-shooters on the floor or 4 non-shooters on the floor? I mean, how ridiculous of a statement.
5 non-shooters, the points to score.
Please tell me if we've had this conversation before.
John, we really could. Can you win with this many non-shooters? They took Ron Holland, like dubbed in from last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a new guy running the organization. So,
all right. So, yeah, first move is moving on from Monty Williams. Second move, first roster move is obviously adding Ron Holland the second. And what is he now going to do with this roster moving forward? Because you are going to have free agency. Trade market is open 365 days a year. So let's see what he does to go out and get somebody that instead of putting five non-shooters out there, and you know, one of those guys is a pretty good defensive player, mm-hmm. but he's 18. Yeah. I mean, how good a defense you can be at 18? You could be as aggressive as you want. What does that create? And we've seen it with young players.
Fouls.
A lot of fouls.
Marcus in East Point, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Man, I'm so disappointed. I don't get it. How you guys doing this morning?
Well, I'm as disappointed as you are, Marcus, for the same reason.
I mean, I'm thinking about it differently, but the guy's 18, right? So we're saying maybe 3 years, four max, he develops into a real NBA player. Guess what? We're paying him max money to stay, and we don't even know if he can play yet. And Cade, who we're about to give max money to, is going to be on his way to his next contract. So all we're doing is retreading the same scenario every 3 to 4 years. It doesn't make any sense to me. And I don't think there's enough shooters available, free agent or trade, that's going to make this team any better. I don't see any growth in the next 3 to 4 years. Period.
Well, I think there are some shooters out there, but I think what you're going to run into is, like, last year they had Bogdanovich and Burks, but the reality is you need guys who are part of the young core to be shooters. Guys are going to be here beyond a Band-Aid year or a couple years.
Or a season of development.
Right. You want to have four or five guys that you've drafted in the first round that can play together. Wild concept. Play together. Some things that stood out from last night beyond the Pistons. We'll keep taking your phone calls. The Cade question at 6:35. And I think I may have figured out what Iserman's doing.
Oh. Oh, little hockey savant, eh? Mm, putting yourself in the same category as Stevie Y.
Let's not go that far. I was listening to Pierre LeBrun, some TSN. I think I'm putting the pieces together. I know what Stevie's doing. We'll get to that before the hour's over. It's 97.1.
Hey, last fall we put a new roof on the house. And as I was driving home yesterday, neighbor put a new roof on the house. Company they decided to go with, as well as I did, Rapid Roofing, Mike Beattie. Here's the experience I had. They came out. They sent the drone up. They got on the roof. They told me exactly what needed to be done. They gave me an estimate. It wasn't a high-pressure sales event. And I checked out the estimate, decided to go with them. They showed up in one morning, ripped the roof off, made the repairs, put a new roof on, cleaned everything up. If you've ever seen a roof being taken off, it's a disaster area. They cleaned everything up, every single nail as well. And it was a thing of beauty. Now I have the biggest investment that I have protected. My family is protected. You can give Mike a call at Rapid Roofing at 888-360-ROOF. That's 888-360-ROOF. Or you can find him on the web at rapidroofing.com.
Three Frenchmen in the top 10. Zach Edey in the top 10. Night one of the NBA draft in the books. The Pistons drafted Ron Holland the second.
Who? The first is, I hear, a great chef.
Oh, is he?
Yes. Tremendous chef. Yes, yes. I was hoping, because they announced what his number one dish was. I was hoping and praying that they were going to say bolognese. Ooh. But they didn't. And I don't even remember what it was.
Did you see Roberto Luongo eating pasta out of the Stanley Cup?
I did.
I don't know if that was bolognese too.
Yeah.
Anyway, Ron Holland the second, Asar Thompson the second, Stanley Johnson the second. I don't know. I mean, we've done this game before. You draft a big, talented athlete who can't shoot, and if it's one non-shooter in a vacuum with some upside, all right, roll the dice. When it's the fourth in a row around Cade Cunningham, I think I have every right to wake up this morning and go, I thought this was a new president. Did they just take the notes from the last front office, open a file cabinet, and go,
well, you only had a week.
Says Ron Holland.
But here's the thing, is he was the general manager, Trajan Langdon.
Yes, he's not done like, the job. He was scouting.
He was scouting. That's my whole thing, is he was scouting all of these players. And so even though he's only been on the job for a week, it's been actually a couple of weeks that he's been in town, he had his own notes, his own evaluation of all of these prospects, and now you get to look at what the Pistons have, and they don't have a shooter. Everywhere you look, now, talking heads and publications and all of those things don't always have to be the go-to on what the Pistons need. But I think even the most naive of fans, the ones that are maybe just, hey, they tune in every once in a while, the most uneducated of fans would have come to the same conclusion. You got to have somebody that can shoot.
Yeah, I don't think you need to be a basketball brainiac to figure it out. Let's get to Ryan in Sterling Heights. Ryan, good morning.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
So I think that after last night, they need to trade up in the second round and try and draft Bronny James to try and recruit LeBron here, because I think that he could expedite the development process of all these players.
So the Pistons pick 53 tonight.
Yeah.
Trade up, get Bronny James.
Do they have to trade up to get him?
Well, this is the game, right, Ryan?
Not, but I think that somebody might try and take a stab at him in the top 10 of the second round just to try and recruit LeBron to their team. So I feel like that, you know, I mean, it might be a reach, but you have to trade up to get him because somebody else is going to take him in the top 10 to try and recruit LeBron to their team.
So this came up briefly yesterday, the idea that the Pistons should draft Bronny to get LeBron. I don't think LeBron's coming here. I think it would end up more as a negotiating tool, where then you get the Lakers on the horn and you try to get something out of them.
We'll give you Bronny for Connect.
Chess, not checkers, John. Langdon redeems himself one day later. Hey, second round is tonight. Can anybody explain why this was a good idea?
You mean to split it up into two nights? You weren't watching three hours of the NBA draft last night. But at least if you had it on, maybe you would fall asleep to it. Tonight, are you actually going to turn it back on? No. And so for the players that are going to be drafted in the second round, why wouldn't you just, so that they would have an opportunity to have an audience, keep it on the same night? There's not much opportunity tonight. No one cares about the second round of the NBA draft to begin with. Now you split it up. They're trying to copy the NFL. I'm sorry, you're not the NFL.
No, we are in love with football. We're watching day three. We've got quarterbacks from colleges that we actually watched as opposed to international players that we've never seen. I can't imagine. I get the thought of spreading out our storylines if I'm the NBA, but the problem is there's no storyline anybody cares about, besides Bronny.
Right.
Bronny is maybe the saving grace for the coverage tonight. It will be the Bronny broadcast.
That's a notification on your phone.
Yeah.
That's it. You're like, when is Bronny going to be taken? ESPN will let me know.
Going to watch round two of the draft or the debate tonight? Anyway, 248-539.
Time to go to bed early.
We're not going to get a full breakdown. All right, let's get to Heather with the news.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, an 18-year-old from Clinton Township has been charged in connection with the murder of Oakland County Sheriff's Office Detective Bradley Reckling. So we all know this horrendous story. Reckling was shot and killed late Saturday night in Detroit while he was working undercover. He was following a stolen vehicle when one of the suspects got out of the car, opened fire. Well, this teen that was arrested was arraigned Wednesday on three counts of lying to a police officer during a violent investigation and one count of resisting arrest. So he has pleaded not guilty to all of these counts. The teen has admitted that he was in the vehicle. He says, yes, I was there. I did flee the scene. He also admitted that they did shoot at police. His bond was set for $100,000 cash with house arrest and a GPS tether if he does post bond. Now, two other 18-year-olds were also arrested. Both of those teens are involved in another police pursuit case that started in Troy 3 months earlier. Now, I don't believe they've actually been charged yet with anything related to this case, but they have been arrested. So more to come with that. Now,
you got house arrest for now?
Well, I mean, but also he was not charged with murder. He was charged with lying to a police officer and resisting arrest.
He was there.
I agree with
he's accused of being there.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
So I guess maybe with the charges that he's facing right now, which aren't.
Yeah.
I mean, that big of charges in comparison, that is why.
And to John's point, like, I mean, you don't want someone who's dangerous to be able to get back out on the streets.
or a cop killer.
I agree with you. I'm just, I am just,
no, I 100%
I'm just saying
agree with
why
that.
I think that is based off of the charges he's received.
Right.
That's all. Speaking of Bradley Reckling, I did mention this yesterday, but a celebration of life has been planned for Friday. There will be a public visitation from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at this church in Auburn Hills, if you're interested in going. But they say the service will conclude at the church. There's not going to be any live feed. It sounds like that's more for friends and family.
Yeah.
Let's talk Kelly Stafford. She's apologizing for apparently nearly ruining Joe Cox's marriage after she admitted that she hooked up with the former Georgia backup quarterback while she was initially dating Matthew Stafford.
So she's apologizing for outing Cox.
Well, she actually never said any names, right? She didn't name drop, but people have made connections, right?
But why would it ruin their...
Well, apparently after she shared the story that she was dating him just to make
Stafford
Matthew
jealous,
people like started slamming him on social media, kind of bombarding him and his family.
Was he dating his current wife at that time?
Well, I don't know at the same time. I don't know, but apparently in college they did date because in her apology, she said, quote, "To this beautiful fam, I'm sorry for the media storm that happened last week that made its way into your lives. You had zero involvement in what I spoke about. And in fact, it was y'all's relationship in college that I looked up to and wanted to be in college." So they were dating in college.
Maybe. Well, John's question is a good one. Before or after the Stafford thing? Plot thickens.
Maybe.
What a bunch of ridiculousness.
It's so silly. It's, you know what? It happened in college. Both are happily married with children. Like, it is what it is. But people on the internet can be quite rude. You know, maybe they were just going after him a little. Finally, whether you like this or not, the zipper merge is the quickest, most efficient way to merge for a construction zone. People, we have talked about it before. Let it be known. The zipper method, which is endorsed by Michigan State Police, is better for traffic flow and when vehicles have to merge into a single lane. I hate it when people don't let you in when you're doing the right thing.
Or the people that block off the other lane.
Yes!
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
I hope the person who's straddling the lanes heard Heather, come on, participate, move traffic along.
Yes, I will use science as I zip around that individual that is trying to block off the lane.
I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate when they do that. Or you're driving in the lane that needs to merge in and then the other person's... And they say, you know, one car, then another, car, then another.
And take your turn.
Let the flow of traffic continue. People, you heard it here. Zipper method.
I have a lot of traffic issues.
Yes. Most people do.
Yes.
Finally, check your freezers. Over 60 ice cream products have been recalled due to their potential to be contaminated with Listeria.
Which products?
There's a whole list of 60 of them. 60, when I looked at the
list, don't list them all.
I didn't really recognize a whole lot, except there is some Hershey's ice cream in there, and then the Chipwich, the ice cream sandwich.
No!
Those were the things I recognized. Other brands I wasn't familiar with, but doesn't mean that other people aren't. So you can go on and check the whole list. If you have any of those, you can take them back to the store where you purchased them and get a refund, or you can eat them at your own risk, basically, because it's not 100%. It's the potential.
Right.
So
I've had enough ice cream. I think I've built up an immunity to some of these things.
Listeria can't touch
chance.
You.
Yeah, his famous last words.
Got nothing on you.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You start to have some muscle aches, nausea, fever, vomiting, diarrhea. Well.
Yeah.
That's Listeria.
Yep.
All right, Heather with the news. We are less than an hour away from the two grand slam, 725, a chance to win $2,000 with us this morning. I think I figured out Steve Yzerman. The big move that may be looming, we'll get to that at 650. Coming up next, poor Kate Cunningham. It's 97.1. Poor Kate Cunningham.
John, he's going to be an 8-year vet before he has anybody around him that can actually help him.
Anybody can actually shoot, or he'll be playing somewhere else. This is nothing against Ron Holland, and he may develop into a fine NBA player. But there's one glaring issue with him, and it's the same glaring issue that every pick they've made since Cade has. They can't shoot. So you're going to put Cade into this meat grinder. He's not going to have spacing. He's not going to be set up. Sure, you can target a guy or two in free agency, but the core young building blocks are Cade and four non-shooters. I feel bad for Cade. I really do. I have a real fear that they're going to waste what career he could have had. Do you share that fear?
I do, and I was actually trying to go back in my notes to find... Okay, yep. In terms of... I was just looking at what they wanted to add to the to their team when he had his initial press conference on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about about adding shooters.
They
being
still
able
will.
To create space.
They still will, but they're not core people. They're not young, long-term building blocks. Like, if you're going to be bad the way the Pistons have been bad, if you're going to pick, you know, 5, 6, 7, damn near 10 first-round picks in a five-year span, some of them got to shoot. You can't do this exclusively through overpaying free agent shooters. And we also know they're not going to use all their cap space on free agents because they've said they're going to take on some bad contracts, which I don't disagree with philosophically. But let's not act like they're going to just add Ray Allen in free agency, that they're going to add these elite spacers in free agency.
I don't want to discount some of the things that Ron Holland does well. And because everybody talks about the fact that he's a dog on the court.
Yep.
He's a guy that's going to play, you know, day in, day out, he's going to play really good defense. He's going to be aggressive. He's going to attack the rim. He's going to be able to be one of those guys that can set the mentality, the identity of the team of, hey, you're going to hustle, you're going to play D, and then we'll figure things out on offense. But the problem about figuring things out on offense, and this is what Trajan Langdon had to say about Cade last Friday. We're hoping to put a group of players around him that can bolster his growth but not make it as hard for him to do the things he had to do last year. What? Okay.
So far,
you've added the same as you did last year.
Yeah. And I say so far. This is not a condemnation of Trey Langdon's entire regime. It's one move. But it's one move that feels eerily reminiscent of the mistakes of the last regime. 248-539-9797. Your first impression of the pick. And then is this a real fear that I have? That they're going to waste Cade Cunningham? Like, John, I almost feel like we owe this young man an apology. And you know, who? The more I think about it, remember when David Hull Hatchett in the afternoon show spoke to the man upstairs to try to get Cade here? Do we owe him an apology too?
What, the man upstairs?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if anybody's religious, if we can apologize to God himself, because we're wasting his gift of Cade Cunningham. If there's any religious leaders in the community that could step up, 248-539-9797. Forgive us, Father, we have sinned. Too much?
I'm curious. No.
No, it's not too much. Okay.
I'm curious, because if you're willing to go that far, Trajan Langdon has been here for officially almost a week.
Sure.
You're willing to give him strike one?
Oh, don't do this.
I mean, it seems like that's the direction you're going. You were really quick to be able to do that with Scott Harris. Why is this not strike one?
Can I give him a strike if I'm not satisfied with the entirety of the first offseason? Is that fair? I'm not happy. If this is the tone that the offseason takes, this will be strike one.
I don't know. Because, okay, what was strike one for Scott Harris? It was
Eduardo Rodriguez.
The trade deadline. It was one player.
Yes, but it was a complete obliviousness to the fact that he had a no trade clause. No backup plan, got left with nothing, the player left for nothing. That was pretty egregious.
Okay, so if we end up in this offseason left with nothing, I'll go down that road.
And the second strike for Harris was not one play. It was an off season where they ignored hitting.
So you can put both of those together, group them all together for this off season for Trajan Langdon.
It could be a strike if they don't significantly upgrade shooting. And I'm not happy with this pick because, again, the shooting that they may add is more of a Band-Aid than it is cornerstone. They had a chance to draft someone who could be more cornerstone. They continue to not draft shooters.
The strike down the road is you can't do it now.
No.
Because there's so much speculation. But I do go back to what I said earlier. Cody Williams is the comp to me. And I don't understand why you don't take him over Holland. I guess Holland has the bigger upside if you go back to high school recruiting. But I don't know, similar position, similar player, and Williams has a, what, he shoots 15% better from three?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a
monumental difference.
And I also think future strike potentially and not trading down to do this. I don't feel like they were prepared to trade down. They tried to trade down.
The only
but were they prepared? Because the top four picks went exactly like everybody said they would.
Right, but the only defense I would give Trajan Langdon in that, and I think it's a valid defense, is you've got to have somebody that actually wants to trade up. This draft was not loaded with studs. So if you don't have somebody that is willing to trade up to five, to give anything of value to trade up, then and this is who you wanted anyway, then just take your guy.
Ticket text 248-539-9797. The pick was atrocious. Texter says, Goff was so right. You guys can't wait to be negative. Give the new guy a chance. Just pathetic. Who's okay. The new guy? Is it Holland or Langdon that we're not giving a chance to? Because I don't think either of us have called for anybody to be fired or called anybody a bust. It's just, guys, the draft was last night. We woke up this morning. The mics come on. We give our opinions. I challenge you to fight us. What are we wrong about?
Did you see anybody say that the Pistons didn't need to add shooting?
No.
And do you think a guy that shoots 24% from behind the arc can just all of a sudden, in 2 or 3 years, be... I mean, what do we expect him to develop into? Can he be 35%? Is that acceptable? Is that good enough?
But I wonder.
But do you think that's possible?
I wonder. I mean, they're putting a lot on this new shooting coach, where he's going to fix everybody.
That's where I go in regards to how much better can he be at the next level, and how many times? When was the last time you saw an 18-year-old have an impact in the NBA?
No, I don't. I mean, LeBron James. Yeah. The point about don't be negative. I actually think we have a right to be negative. They drafted a non-shooter. It's the one thing that this team really hasn't done is put shooting around Cade. So if we're negative, I think we have a right to be negative. If you're thinking we're burying people, I would disagree. I don't think we're burying people, but I do think we wake up in the morning and we do this job and we talk about what just happened.
And we also have the ability. I don't know if we're not 100% on our opinions.
Right.
We could be wrong as well. And this is one situation where I would love to be wrong in a couple of years. I don't want to have the patience of a couple of years. And maybe that's my problem. I just don't have enough patience when you have a 17-win season. Then you follow it up with the worst in history with 14 wins. You haven't won a series and been in the playoffs in a decade. Like, this is where I'm losing patience, and I just don't want to wait for an 18-year-old to develop.
So again, state of the franchise. Cade Cunningham set to receive a max contract. The four players they've drafted in the first round since him can't shoot. They have cap space, but they're wisely going to use it to take on some bad contracts and get some picks. They are going to waste Cade Cunningham. 248-539-9797. And at that point, it enters a conversation I don't want to have. Better off just trading him. I don't want to have the conversation. I'm not even putting the number out. Don't call in about it. I don't want to have that conversation. I want them to be run properly, and I want them to build around him. It's a little bit like the Scooble conversation, and someone else in the ticket text compares the two franchises. By the look of all the opportunities, I think the Tigers and the Pistons are having a silent contest. Who can stay irrelevant the longest? Tigers needed hitting. Pistons needed shooting. You wake up today,
same thing. Every sport right now, the rules are in place to create more offense, whether it's protecting the quarterback and protecting the receivers with pass interference. We see all of these different rules being implemented to provide for more offense. In hockey, it's the same thing. You're trying to provide for more offense. People want to see offense. Baseball, what is our one complaint about this team is even if they win, it's a boring win most of the time, unless it's a weekend win. It's boring. You want to see some offense. Offense wins games. Okay, you can say defense wins championships. I get it. But this is still, it's a pick where Jaden Ivey doesn't create offense. Assur Thompson doesn't create offense. And I'm not expecting Ron Holland to create offense.
No, okay, both are important, defense and shooting. But this is a good point. Thayer messages the show, says the point of basketball is to put the ball through the hoop. You should be taking shooters that have that skill and you can teach the rest. Defense is a lot of effort. Shooting is going to be a lot of work. And there's no promise that it actually turns out that way. 248-539-9797. We got some good texts. You want to jump it on the phones? We'll get to it. The Yzerman thing.
You got to figure it out. I can't wait to hear this.
I think I've got it figured out. This is what I do. I'm looking around Sportsnet and TSN and reading tea leaves. Why is Yzerman making these moves? Why does he need this cap space? I will tell you what I think he's up to next. It's 97.1. John, it's a good point by you.
What's that?
You said throw the number out, see if anybody actually likes the pick.
Yeah. I mean, hey, 248-539-9797. We're going to talk Steve Yzerman because I can't wait to hear the fact that you've climbed into his mind and you've got it all figured out because of the two trades that he made. He's got a roster spot. He's created some salary cap room. We'll get to that in a second. But if there is anyone out there, if you're willing to text to say, we're negative, be patient, call in, tell us why we should be. Why do you think this is going to be a pick that eventually works out?
So we got a couple calls early, people upset. You and I have pointed out he can't shoot. This is a recurring problem for the Pistons. This is not a rosy disposition to start the show. Yeah. If we're missing something, if there's even one person on their morning commute today who goes, actually, this is a good pick.
I like this.
248-539-9797. We'll put the bat signal out. We welcome that conversation. The Yzerman stuff.
Yeah.
John, the moves Yzerman made do not make any sense. So I'm searching for the next move. We all are. Why did he trade away Jake Walman for nothing? Give up a second round pick to move him.
Right. Why did he pay to ship him away?
Yeah. Had to add a sweetener, as they say. Why? Why did he acquire the second round pick and then attach it to Walman and trade him? Why was it so important? I still am questioning the process, but he freed up some cap space. And I think there's a name out there that makes a lot of sense.
Dreisaitl?
No.
I'm just guessing.
But a pretty big name. Guy who's won a couple cups.
Uh-huh.
Guy who's coming off a 40-goal season. 40 goals two of the last three seasons. A player that Steve Yzerman is intimately familiar with. Uh-huh. A player who he has re-signed before. A player who's been in the wars and won cups with him. Steven Stamkos. When we previously brought up Stammer, the belief was Tampa would keep him. That belief is starting to shift. TSN's Pierre LeBrun gave some indications that Stamkos may be available, and fellow TSN insider Chris Johnston, the second voice you'll hear here, links Detroit to poor Cade Cunningham.
John, he's going to be an 8-year vet before he has anybody around him that can actually help him.
Anybody can actually shoot, or he'll be playing somewhere else. This is nothing against Ron Holland, and he may develop into a fine NBA player. But there's one glaring issue with him, and it's the same glaring issue that every pick they've made since Cade has. They can't shoot. So you're going to put Cade into this meat grinder. He's not going to have spacing. He's not going to be set up. Sure, you can target a guy or two in free agency, but the core young building blocks are Cade and four non-shooters. I feel bad for Cade. I really do. I have a real fear that they're going to waste what career he could have had. Do you share that fear?
I do, and I was actually trying to go back in my notes to find... Okay, yep. In terms of... I was just looking at what they wanted to add to their team when he had his initial press conference on Friday, and he talked about about adding shooters.
They
being
still
able
will
to create space.
They still will, but they're not core people. They're not young, long term building blocks. Like if you're gonna be bad the way the Pistons have been bad, if you're gonna pick, you know, 5, 6, 7, damn near 10 first round picks in a 5-year span, some of them gotta shoot. You can't do this exclusively through overpaying free agent shooters. And we also know they're not going to use all their cap space on free agents because they've said they're going to take on some bad contracts, which I don't disagree with philosophically. But let's not act like they're going to just add Ray Allen in free agency, that they're going to add these elite spacers in free agency.
I don't want to discount some of the things that Ron Holland does well. and because everybody talks about the fact that he's a dog on the court.
Yep.
He's a guy that's going to play, you know, day in, day out, he's going to play really good defense. He's going to be aggressive. He's going to attack the rim. He's going to be able to be one of those guys that can set the mentality, the identity of the team of, hey, you're going to hustle, you're going to play D, and then we'll figure things out on offense. But the problem about figuring things out on offense, and this is what Trajan Langdon had to say about Cade last Friday. We're hoping to put a group of players around him that can bolster his growth but not make it as hard for him to do the things he had to do last year. What? Okay.
So far,
you've added the same as you did last year.
Yeah. And I say so far. This is not a condemnation of Trey Langdon's entire regime. It's one move, but it's one move that feels eerily reminiscent of the mistakes of the last regime. 248-539-9797, your first impression of the pick, and then is this a real fear that I have, that they're going to waste Cade Cunningham? Like, John, I almost feel like we owe this young man an apology. And you know, who? The more I think about it, remember when David Hull Hatchett in the afternoon show spoke to the man upstairs to try to get Cade here? Do we owe him an apology, too?
What, the man upstairs?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if anybody's religious, if we can apologize to God himself, because we're wasting his gift of Cade Cunningham. If there's any religious leaders in the community that could step up, 248-539-9797, forgive us, Father, we have sinned. Too much?
I'm curious, no.
No, it's not too much, okay.
I'm curious, because if you're willing to go that far, Trajan Langdon has been here for officially almost a week.
Sure.
You're willing to give him strike one?
Oh, don't do this.
I mean, it seems like that's the direction you're going. You were really quick to be able to do that with Scott Harris. Why is this not strike one?
Can I give him a strike if I'm not satisfied with the entirety of the first offseason? Is that fair? I'm not happy. If this is the tone that the offseason takes, this will be strike one.
I don't know. Because, okay, what was strike one for Scott Harris? It was
Eduardo Rodriguez.
The trade deadline. Just it was one player.
Yes, but it was a complete obliviousness to the fact that he had a no trade clause. No backup plan, got left with nothing, the player left for nothing. That was pretty egregious.
Okay, so if we end up in this offseason left with nothing, I guess I'll go down that road.
And the second strike for Harris was not one play. It was an off season where they ignored hitting.
So you can put both of those together, group them all together for this off season for Trajan Langdon.
It could be a strike if they don't significantly upgrade shooting. And I'm not happy with this pick because, again, the shooting that they may add is more of a Band-Aid than it is cornerstone. They had a chance to draft someone who could be more cornerstone. They continue to not draft shooters.
The strike down the road is you can't do it now.
No.
Because there's so much speculation. But I do go back to what I said earlier. Cody Williams is the comp to me. And I don't understand why you don't take him over Holland. I guess Holland has the bigger upside if you go back to high school recruiting. But I don't know. Similar position, similar player. And Williams has he shoots 15% better from three.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a
monumental difference.
And I also think future strike potentially and not trading down to do this. I don't feel like they were prepared to trade down. They tried to trade down. But were they prepared? Because the top four picks went exactly like everybody said they would.
Right, but the only defense I would give Trajan Langdon in that, and I think it's a valid defense, is you've got to have somebody that actually wants to trade up. This draft was not loaded with studs. So if you don't have somebody that is willing to trade up to five, to give anything of value to trade up, then and this is who you wanted anyway, then just take your guy.
Ticket text, 248-539-9797. The pick was atrocious. Texter says, Goff was so right. You guys can't wait to be negative. Give the new guy a chance. Just pathetic. Okay. Who's the new guy? Is it Holland or Langdon that we're not giving a chance to? Because I don't think either of us have called for anybody to be fired or called anybody a bust. It's just, guys, the draft was last night. We woke up this morning. The mics come on. We give our opinions. I challenge you to fight us. What are we wrong about?
Did you see anybody say that the Pistons didn't need to add shooting?
No.
And do you think a guy that shoots 24% from behind the arc can just all of a sudden, in 2 or 3 years, be, I mean, what do we expect him to develop into? Can he be 35%? Is that acceptable? Is that good enough?
Would be. But I wonder.
But do you think that's possible?
I wonder. I mean, they're putting a lot on this new shooting coach where he's going to fix everybody.
That's where I go in regards to how much better can he be at the next level, and how many times, when was the last time you saw an 18-year-old have an impact in the NBA?
No, I don't. I mean, LeBron James?
Yeah.
The point about don't be negative. I actually think we have a right to be negative. They drafted a non-shooter. It's the one thing that this team really hasn't done is put shooting around Cade. So if we're negative, I think we have a right to be negative. If you're thinking we're burying people, I would disagree. I don't think we're burying people, but I do think we wake up in the morning and we do this job and we talk about what just happened.
And we also have the ability. I don't know if we're not 100% on our opinions.
Right.
We could be wrong as well. And this is one situation where I would love to be wrong in a couple of years. I don't want to have the patience of a couple of years. And maybe that's my problem. I just don't have enough patience when you have a 17-win season. Then you follow it up with the worst in history with 14 wins. You haven't won a series and been in the playoffs in a decade. Like, this is where I'm losing patience, and I just don't want to wait for an 18-year-old to develop.
So again, state of the franchise. Cade Cunningham set to receive a max contract. The four players they've drafted in the first round since him can't shoot. They have cap space, but they're wisely going to use it to take on some bad contracts and get some picks. They are going to waste Cade Cunningham. 248-539-9797. And at that point, it enters a conversation I don't want to have. Better off just trading him. I don't want to have the conversation. I'm not even putting the number out. Don't call in about it. I don't want to have that conversation. I want them to be run properly, and I want them to build around him. It's a little bit like the Scooble conversation, and someone else in the ticket text compares the two franchises. By the look of all the opportunities, I think the Tigers and the Pistons are having a silent contest. Who can stay irrelevant the longest? Tigers needed hitting. Pistons needed shooting. You wake up today,
same thing. Every sport right now, the rules are in place to create more offense, whether it's protecting the quarterback and protecting the receivers with pass interference. We see all of these different rules being implemented to provide for more offense. In hockey, it's the same thing. You're trying to provide for more offense. People want to see offense. Baseball, what is our one complaint about this team is even if they win, it's a boring win most of the time. Unless it's a weekend win, it's boring. You want to see some offense. Offense wins games. Okay, you can say defense wins championships. I get it. But this is still, it's a pick where Jaden Ivey doesn't create offense. Assur Thompson doesn't create offense. And I'm not expecting Ron Holland to create offense.
No, okay, both are important, defense and shooting, but this is a good point. Thayer messages the show, says the point of basketball is to put the ball through the hoop. You should be taking shooters that have that skill and you can teach the rest. Defense is a lot of effort. Shooting is going to be a lot of work. And there's no promise that it actually turns out that way. 248-539-9797. We got some good texts. You want to jump it on the phones? We'll get to it. The Yzerman thing.
You got to figure it out. I can't wait to hear this.
I think I've got it figured out. This is what I do. I'm looking around Sportsnet and TSN and reading tea leaves. Why is Yzerman making these moves? Why does he need this cap space? I will tell you what I think he's up to next. It's 97.1. John, it's a good point by you.
What's that?
You said throw the number out, see if anybody actually likes the pick.
Yeah. I mean, hey. 248-539-9797. We're going to talk Steve Yzerman because I can't wait to hear the fact that you've climbed into his mind and you've got it all figured out because of the two trades that he made. He's got a roster spot. He's created some salary cap room. We'll get to that in a second. But if there is anyone out there, if you're willing to text to say, we're negative, be patient, call in, tell us why we should be. Why do you think this is going to be a pick that eventually works out?
So we got a couple calls early, people upset. You and I have pointed out he can't shoot. This is a recurring problem for the Pistons. This is not a rosy disposition to start the show. Yeah. If we're missing something, if there's even one person on their morning commute today who goes, actually, this is a good pick.
I like this.
248-539-9797. We'll put the bat signal out. We welcome that conversation. the Yzerman stuff.
Yeah.
John, the moves Yzerman made do not make any sense. So I'm searching for the next move. We all are. Why did he trade away Jake Walman for nothing? Give up a second round pick to move him.
Right. Why did he pay to ship him away?
Yeah. Had to add a sweetener, as they say. Why? Why did he acquire the second round pick and then attach it to Walman and trade him? Why was it so important? I still am questioning the process, but he freed up some cap space, and I think there's a name out there that makes a lot of sense.
Dreisaitl?
No.
I'm just guessing.
But a pretty big name. Guy who's won a couple cups.
Uh-huh.
Guy who's coming off a 40-goal season. 40 goals two of the last three seasons. A player that Steve Yzerman is intimately familiar with. A player who he has re-signed before. A player who's been in the wars and won cups with him. Steven Stamkos. When we previously brought up Stammer, the belief was Tampa would keep him. That belief is starting to shift. TSN's Pierre LeBrun gave some indications that Stamkos may be available, and fellow TSN insider Chris Johnston, the second voice you'll hear here, links Detroit to Stamkos. Connecting the dots, Stamkos, deals falling through in Tampa, could hit the open market. Yzerman knows him. Yzerman opened up a little extra space. Maybe Stamkos isn't happy with the offers he's receiving, needs a little extra on top. Yzerman made sure to budget for that money by trading Jake Walman. Do you buy it, John?
I could buy it, yeah. I mean, this is a guy that Steve Yzerman has a relationship with, obviously. And if he's going to be able to leverage that relationship. Now, we've kind of gone down this road before. We were here with AJ Hintz and Alex Correa thinking, well, maybe he could leverage that relationship. It didn't work out. And now with Yzerman, is it possible that it works out? First, he has to hit the market. Now, Tampa does have a salary cap issue. I don't know that they're going to be able to offer, even if they give the sweetest offer that they possibly can, as much as the Predators or as what Detroit could offer. So is it going to be a money decision? If it's a money decision, are the Wings going to be in the same, you know, realm as the Predators? Or do they have to be because Stamkos wants to come and play for a guy like Yzerman? Believes, and here's the other thing. He's 34 years old. It's not going to be a part of a long-term future, but can be for, what, 3 years?
Yeah, yeah, I could see a
quality
deal.
Quality 3 years?
And maybe you have to give, I know Yzerman's stingy with this, you may have to give him a fourth year. I don't know, but I think there are certain guys you're willing to compromise over, and this is a player he knows really well. And I think familiarity may help get him in the room, but they need the money to seal the deal, and I think that could explain some of the deals that were made earlier this week that otherwise have no explanation. It's got to be because there's a bigger fish in play. They already had cap space. The Wings have some of the most cap space in hockey. Why did they need a little extra? Because there's someone expensive. Well, who's worth paying for? A guy you personally know and trust can deliver in the playoffs. Not just get in, what's Yzerman's thing, but be able to get in and do something about it. Stamkos last year had 5 goals in 5 playoff games. He is not a great defensive hockey player. We can nitpick him if we'd like, but coming off 40-goal season, he's recovered well from the injury scare he had a few years ago.
Yeah,
he can play center or wing. What was the knock when Larkin went down? Who's going to step up and score?
We thought it was going to be Kane. That didn't happen. We thought it was going to be DeBrincat, and then that didn't happen.
Is this not an upgrade?
So I was going to ask you that question. Is what does Steven Stamkos, if this were to be the play that Yzerman is setting up for, what does he bring to the team? What does he bring that, and I know it's okay, he's a center, not a right wing, but what does he bring that Patrick Kane didn't provide?
So I think Stamkos will less of a center than he is a wing at this point, if we're being fair, but can play center. He'd be probably more of a wing like Kane. He's a better shooter. Kane probably a better passer. I think there's some risk is Kane fully healthy now moving forward, and he's going to get back to him his old self. That would be the risk in not signing him. But I know Stamkos has already regained point per game form. He had 81 points in 79 games. He's missed 2 hockey games a handful of hockey games the last couple seasons.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm getting a healthier player. I'm getting a player who can score, maybe not the passer that Kane is. There's give and take, but I think Yzerman would say I trust Stamkos more than Kane, and that would be the deciding factor. Where I'm not willing to give Kane a longer-term deal over the age of 35, Stamkos is still 34, so there's, you know, the over 35 contract
minutia. Yeah.
There's, you know, rules in hockey about it. I think there's a number of factors that suggest Stamkos greater than Kane, and I think Yzerman's familiarity may be the biggest thing.
Well, it's also going to come down to years. In regards to, are they willing to give Patrick Kane 3 years where they may be more willing to give
Stamkos three,
but possibly that extra fourth?
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. I know it's riskier as he's going to get into his late 30s.
Either one gets you to 38.
Yeah.
With 3 years being, you know, 38 for Patrick Kane, 4 years being 38 for Stamkos. And do you believe that Stamkos in that 4 years or over that same period of time is going to be healthier and provide you more?
Ticket text coming in, 248-539-9797. No, can't go with Stamkos. His age doesn't match with the trajectory of this team. An old score with this defense and goalie group makes no sense. I tend to give Yzerman the benefit of the doubt, but this is a bad idea. There's a reason others aren't offering. Signed, Steven.
Well, it does sound like there are other teams that are lining up.
Yeah, it sounds like that report we just played, Nashville, a team that was in a playoff bubble too, is going, hey, this guy would help us. In the postseason. Well, and I think that's the key here for the Wings is you're not going to build a team solely of guys in their 20s. You do need a couple vets to help push you along, and they really missed that extra push late in the season last year. They do need to be better on defense and in net. You can still do that. Again, they have the cap space to keep Raymond, to keep Seider, to pay Stamkos, and that's maybe why you're opening up a little extra space so that you can still address something on the back end with the defense and the goaltender.
And this provides them the opportunity instead of trying to go out and get your star and I'm not going to call Steven Stamkos their number one star, but it's an opportunity to add a high quality player, an individual to your roster. But instead of trying to go out and shoot for the moon where you'd have to give up a Seider or somebody that you don't want to trade for, this is an opportunity in free agency to spend a little bit of money and bring in somebody that can help you get to the playoffs.
Yeah. And, okay, if you don't think Stamkos is the move, who is?
Oh, we got a lot of questions out there.
We do have a lot of questions out there. Hey, Tom, has anybody texted in saying they like the Ron Holland pick?
There's some, yeah. Okay. They're saying we're being negative.
Okay, well,
give him a chance.
Okay, but hold on. That's not the same thing. Give him a chance is not a ringing endorsement of the player. That's don't be mean. I have nothing to stand on. Just don't be mean. I'm asking for a legitimate defense that he is a good player who will pan out. Not might, but you have a strong feeling that he will help this team. Not
give it a chance.
Okay.
That's the theme. We're negative people.
All right. Well, I'm trying to be positive about the
Red
Wings.
I said to you guys, look, I'm not going to give Trajan Langdon the same rope that I gave Troy Weaver. I'm not going to make that mistake. It looks like they drafted a guy that probably 80% odds won't work out. There's a 20% chance he will. Whatever. The team needs shooting. They didn't get shooting.
Right. So we have a
They didn't trade down for a guy who was speculated to go outside the top 10. So these are all things you can be critical of this morning. We have absolutely no proof Trajan Langdon knows what he's doing whatsoever.
So
he could.
We have real basketball reasons to be concerned with the pick last night. We've asked for real basketball reasons why we're wrong, and it sounds like we haven't seen many of them. I'm not going to rule them out.
Give it a chance.
248-539-9797. But really, we do want to keep the hockey conversation going. Do you like the Stamkos idea? Do you think this is Yzerman's next step? And if not, what is? It's 97.1. John, it's a good point by you.
What's that?
You said throw the number out, see if anybody actually likes the pick.
Yeah. I mean, hey, 248-539-9797. We're going to talk Steve Yzerman because I can't wait to hear the fact that you've climbed into his mind and you've got it all figured out because of the two trades that he made. He's got a roster spot. He's created some salary cap room. We'll get to that in a second. But if there is anyone out there, if you're willing to text to say, we're negative, be patient, call in, tell us why we should be. Why do you think this is going to be a pick that eventually works out?
So we got a couple calls early, people upset. You and I have pointed out he can't shoot. This is a recurring problem for the Pistons. This is not a rosy disposition to start the show. Yeah. If we're missing something, if there's even one person on their morning commute today who goes, actually, this is a good pick.
I like this.
248-539-9797. We'll put the bat signal out. We welcome that conversation. The Yzerman stuff.
Yeah.
John, the moves Yzerman made do not make any sense. So I'm searching for the next move. We all are. Why did he trade away Jake Walman for nothing? Give up a second round pick to move him.
Right. Why did he pay to ship him away?
Yeah. Had to add a sweetener, as they say. Why? Why did he acquire the second round pick and then attach it to Walman and trade him? Why was it so important? I still am questioning the process, but he freed up some cap space, and I think there's a name out there that makes a lot of sense.
Dreisaitl?
No.
I'm just guessing.
But a pretty big name. Guy who's won a couple cups.
Uh-huh.
Guy who's coming off a 40-goal season. 40 goals two of the last three seasons. A player that Steve Yzerman is intimately familiar with. A player who he has re-signed before. A player who's been in the wars and won cups with him. Steven Stamkos. When we previously brought up Stammer, the belief was Tampa would keep him. That belief is starting to shift. TSN's Pierre LeBrun gave some indications that Stamkos may be available, and fellow TSN insider Chris Johnston, the second voice you'll hear here, links Detroit to Stamkos. Connecting the dots, Stamkos, deals falling through in Tampa, could hit the open market. Yzerman knows him. Yzerman opened up a little extra space. Maybe Stamkos isn't happy with the offers he's receiving, needs a little extra on top. Yzerman made sure to budget for that money by trading Jake Walman. Do you buy it, John?
I could buy it, yeah. I mean, this is a guy that Steve Yzerman has a relationship with, obviously. And if he's going to be able to leverage that relationship. Now, we've kind of gone down this road before. We were here with AJ Hintz and Alex Correa thinking, well, maybe he could leverage that relationship. It didn't work out. And now with Yzerman, is it possible that it works out? First, he has to hit the market. Now, Tampa does have a salary cap issue. I don't know that they're going to be able to offer, even if they give the sweetest offer that they possibly can, as much as the Predators or as what Detroit could offer. So is it going to be a money decision? If it's a money decision, are the Wings going to be in the same, you know, realm as the Predators? Or do they have to be because Stamkos wants to come and play for a guy like Yzerman? Believes, and here's the other thing. He's 34 years old. It's not going to be a part of a long-term future, but can be for, what, 3 years?
Yeah, yeah, I could see a
quality
deal.
Quality 3 years?
And maybe you have to give, I know Yzerman's stingy with this, you may have to give him a fourth year. I don't know, but I think there are certain guys you're willing to compromise over, and this is a player he knows really well. And I think familiarity may help get him in the room, but they need the money to seal the deal, and I think that could explain some of the deals that were made earlier this week that otherwise have no explanation. It's got to be because there's a bigger fish in play. They already had cap space. The Wings have some of the most cap space in hockey. Why did they need a little extra? Because there's someone expensive. Well, who's worth paying for? A guy you personally know and trust can deliver in the playoffs. Not just get in, what's Yzerman's thing, but be able to get in and do something about it. Stamkos last year had 5 goals in 5 playoff games. He is not a great defensive hockey player. We can nitpick him if we'd like, but coming off 40-goal season, he's recovered well from the injury scare he had a few years ago.
Yeah,
he can play center or wing. What was the knock when Larkin went down? Who's going to step up and score?
We thought it was going to be Kane. That didn't happen. We thought it was going to be DeBrincat, and then that didn't happen.
Is this not an upgrade?
So I was going to ask you that question. Is what does Steven Stamkos, if this were to be the play that Yzerman is setting up for, what does he bring to the team? What does he bring that, and I know it's okay, he's a center, not a right wing, but what does he bring that Patrick Kane didn't provide?
So I think Stamkos will less of a center than he is a wing at this point, if we're being fair, but can play center. He'd be probably more of a wing like Kane. He's a better shooter. Kane probably a better passer. I think there's some risk is Kane fully healthy now moving forward and he's going to get back to him his old self, that would be the risk in not signing him. But I know Stamkos has already regained point per game form. He had 81 points in 79 games. He's missed two hockey games, a handful of hockey games the last couple seasons.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm getting a healthier player. I'm getting a player who can score, maybe not the passer that Kane is. There's give and take, but I think Yzerman would say I trust Stamkos more than Kane, and that would be the deciding factor. Where I'm not willing to give Kane a longer-term deal over the age of 35, Stamkos is still 34, so there's the over 35 contract
minutia. Yeah.
There's rules in hockey about it. I think there's a number of factors that suggest Stamkos greater than Kane, and I think Yzerman's familiarity may be the biggest thing.
Well, it's also going to come down to years. In regards to, are they willing to give Patrick Kane 3 years where they may be more willing to give
Stamkos three,
but possibly that extra fourth?
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. I know it's riskier as he's going to get into his late 30s.
Either one gets you to 38.
Yeah.
With 3 years being 38 for Patrick Kane, 4 years being 38 for Stamkos. And do you believe that Stamkos in that 4 years or over that same period of time is going to be healthier and provide you more?
Ticket text coming in, 248-539-9797. No, can't go with Stamkos. His age doesn't match with the trajectory of this team. An old score with this defense and goalie group makes no sense. I tend to give Yzerman the benefit of the doubt, but this is a bad idea. There's a reason others aren't offering. Signed, Steven.
Well, it does sound like there are other teams that are lining up.
Yeah, it sounds like that report we just played, Nashville, a team that was in a playoff bubble too, is going, hey, this guy would help us. In the postseason. Well, and I think that's the key here for the Wings is you're not going to build a team solely of guys in their 20s. You do need a couple vets to help push you along, and they really missed that extra push late in the season last year. They do need to be better on defense and in net. You can still do that. Again, they have the cap space to keep Raymond, to keep Seider, to pay Stamkos, and that's maybe why you're opening up a little extra space so that you can still address something on the back end with the defense and the goaltender.
And this provides them the opportunity instead of trying to go out and get your star I'm not going to call Steven Stamkos their number one star, but it's an opportunity to add a high quality player, an individual to your roster. But instead of trying to go out and shoot for the moon where you'd have to give up a Seider or somebody that you don't want to trade for, this is an opportunity in free agency to spend a little bit of money and bring in somebody that can help you get to the playoffs.
Yeah. And, okay, if you don't think Stamkos is the move, who is?
Oh, we got a lot of questions out there.
We do have a lot of questions out there. Hey, Tom, has anybody texted in saying they like the Ron Holland pick?
There's some, yeah. Okay. They're saying we're being negative.
Okay, well,
give him a chance.
Okay, but hold on. That's not the same thing. Give him a chance is not a ringing endorsement of the player. That's don't be mean. I have nothing to stand on. Just don't be mean. I'm asking for a legitimate defense that he is a good player who will pan out. Not might, but you have a strong feeling that he will help this team. Not
give it a chance.
Okay.
That's the theme. We're negative people.
All right. Well, I'm trying to be positive about the Red
Wings. I said to you guys, look, I'm not going to give Trajan Langdon the same rope that I gave Troy Weaver. I'm not going to make that mistake. It looks like they drafted a guy that probably 80% odds won't work out. There's a 20% chance he will. Whatever. The team needs shooting. They didn't get shooting.
Right. So we have a
They didn't trade down for a guy who was speculated to go outside the top 10. So these are all things you can be critical of this morning. We have absolutely no proof Trajan Langdon knows what he's doing whatsoever.
So
he could.
We have real basketball reasons to be concerned with the pick last night. We've asked for real basketball reasons why we're wrong, and it sounds like we haven't seen many of them. I'm not going to rule them out.
Give it a chance.
248-539-9797. But really, we do want to keep the hockey conversation going. Do you like the Stamkos idea? Do you think this is Yzerman's next step? And if not, what is? It's 97.1.